producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Live, ladies and gentlemen, we're taking your phone calls ahead of a bunch of news I'm going to be covering. Matthew in South Carolina, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. First time caller. Actually, we met about 19 years ago, but I'm not going to digress into that because I knew you got all.
Interesting. Right, Where did we meet, Michael? I don't remember it.
It was you gave me directions on how to get to Mount Carmel in Waco.
Wow.
I can't remember who introduced us, but yeah, it's been a gazillion years ago.
Yeah, we were doing a memorial church there for all those that died. First it started that we were just going to renovate the little chapel for the memorial. And then it got away from me with my listeners. We ended up building a church. And then the media said that I was the Branch Davidian trying to conjure the dead spirit of Koresh. And you know, when the memorial was also for the ATF people that died, and there was a plaque there, the mainstream news said it was a celebration of the federal agents being killed. So that's how mainstream media operates. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, what I thought was a good thing, I work as a chef, and I'm also working in a nutrition science degree. I'm trying to get basically a doctorate in that. But the story that y'all had linked up on InfoWars about the school lunch program, which, you know, Michelle Obama's a nutritionist is as much as Barack Obama is a constitutional lawyer.
That's like saying Rosie O'Donnell got fat because of spoons, banned spoons, you know, banned the guns.
Something I wanted to bring up, I live here in South Carolina, kind of basically between Atlanta and Charlotte, and something that we did here locally was more or less to get rid of the federal mandate on the lunches because everybody figured out that it wasn't working. The kids weren't eating the stuff, and it was racist to bring your lunch in a brown bag or whatever. And also started trying to locally source as much food as we possibly can. Yeah, the cost of the lunch has essentially doubled this school year, but the misconception that a lot of people are under and a lot of school boards...
But it wasn't free. The feds take our money, send us poison crud back. It's subsidized. It's like McDonald's is subsidized because they're allowed to have Chinese rotten food that's come out in the news, and they're allowed to radiate, and they're allowed to not pay for Obamacare. But when you go eat their food, you are literally eating food that's subsidized and is globalist garbage. And McDonald's, I was thinking, is the perfect microcosm. The globalists have set it up where they're going to make you so poor you can only afford to eat there, where their hamburger is $1 or $2, and a real hamburger is $5 or $6. It's just you won't have the money in the future to eat anywhere but McDonald's. And then it'll be social engineering, subsidized poison, because the globalists exempted themselves from all the regulations. That's the essence of how they operate. If someone can understand that, they can understand it all. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's not a problem. But I thought there's been a lot of good points brought up today on your show that, you know, people, you know, just talking about the little steps that people can make. And I think this is one that people really need to, you know, the push in local government, you know, be it with your school board or whatever your county.
Absolutely, because the next step is like Denver or Chicago, where the Democrats say, now you can't pack your own lunch. Now, exactly. Now you can't send it. So, I mean, next, you can't pack your child's lunch. I mean, think about how screwed up that is. And Chicago said 2 years ago, they said, listen, we can't trust these parents to pack a lunch. See, that's what they think of us. Great point.
I grew up with a lunch that my mom packed or I packed myself my entire life. But
back when you were a kid, you didn't have all these allergies that GMO is triggering. I mean, pretty soon there won't be anything people can eat. What's the other point?
Okay. Trey Gowdy, my representative here, who's investigating the Benghazi thing.
I want to hear about it. Stay there. Don't hang up. I'm going to come back to Matthew.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237. From the water table to our soils to the atmosphere itself, our world is becoming more and more toxic each and every day. But it's not just the air outside that's toxic. Indoor air has been shown to have 2 to 5 times higher concentrations of pollutants than even outdoor air. And most Americans spend 90% of their time inside using toxic chemicals within their homes. There are more than 42 million smokers in the United States. Well over 1,000 types of mold and mildew linked to numerous conditions. And don't forget the fact that 6 million Americans live with pets they're allergic to as well. When I began to research these statistics, it was clear to me it was time to start cleansing my lungs in order to combat the toxic environment that we cannot escape but that we can fight back against. Made with organic and wild cultivated herbs and manufactured in the USA, the new InfoWars Life Lung Cleanse is here in a convenient spray bottle that can be brought with you throughout any toxic environment. Now available exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Very long ago that the governor of California was outlawing driver's licenses for people who are undocumented from Mexico. That's not the law anymore. If you got a car or a truck, it takes you 2 or 3 hours to get across. So we can change that. And we are going to work on a plan so that you can go from Tijuana or Mexico to California in 20 minutes. That's what I want to do.
Con pleno respeto a la soberanía de los Estados Unidos.
With full respect to the sovereignty of the United States, we want to contribute and support agreements that would make immigration reform a reality, because at the end of the day, this is about justice that is very important for the development of North American society.
North American society. That is the Mexican,
the relationship between
president who resides over a failed narcotics trafficking terror state that is in full collapse with the rest of Central America already collapsed. They have now developed a corridor into the United States. Obama has announced unlimited amnesty for Guatemalans. Enough green cards for Nicaragua, El Salvador, and Guatemala's entire populations. There's a new Pew poll out showing that one-third of Mexicans are ready to come here now and believe it's their right to come here and have free babies, welfare, everything. And Jerry Brown, with a straight face and a big, giant red nose, looks like he's an alcoholic Santa Claus, says, wasn't too long ago we had governors that didn't give driver's licenses to illegals. Think about that. Can I go to Mexico and get a driver's license? No. Can I go there and have everything paid for free? No. Imagine if I showed up and said, it is justice that you pay for me. It is justice. It is justice that I get a driver's license so I can open bank accounts and so I can vote. But see, notice they have laws in California where you got a driver's license, you can vote. You get on the rolls. I mean, what a sick joke. I mean, literally, California could take over all of America. They could just bring in 300 million people from the world. Don't even need that. 10, 20, 30 million. Enough to tip the other balance with populous states like Texas. The Democrats say with their blue plan. And I'm not even a fan of Republicans, but the Republican leadership wants to commit suicide as well for the North American Union. That's what this is all about, is a North American Union. That's why you've got Obama. And you've got Hillary Clinton, and you've got all these other world leaders, and Wesley Clark, and Petraeus, all in the news saying it's a North American Union. We're going to have a North American Union ID card. 6 years ago, they came out with a North American Union ID card, a hemispheric travel card that if you get it from Mexico to Canada or the U.S., you can travel everywhere. A smart card. That's going to be the new card, and citizens will have to have it to get on an airplane. But illegals, remember that headline last week? Don't have to have any ID to fly. Lawless selective enforcement. And you can be a felon from around the world and come here and change your name as many times as you want, kill as many people as you want, and you do not get in trouble compared to anybody else. Imagine the straight face of, yeah, used to, you had to, you know, at least be here legally to get a driver's license. Now it's just no. Can you believe the undocumented couldn't get a driver's license? And, of course, then the judges on record, when you have that driver's license, in places like Colorado and California, just let the illegals go. I've had prosecutors from Travis County, who are not like the people that indicted Perry, come to me and meet with me and show me the numbers. And talk about the fact that judges are told by the higher-ups to tell the cops, don't arrest illegals for drunk driving and stuff, because all we're going to give them is a $10 fine. Because if we don't, they'll walk. $10, $20 they'll pay. Citizens, the average DWI cost is about $20,000. An illegal, $10, maybe $20. And hey, see, but discrimination's only by white people. You don't accept Obamacare, you're a racist gringo. You don't accept turning your guns in, you're a racist gringo. You don't accept your kids being given forced inoculations, look, if the sun don't shine, it's a white person's fault. Just on and on and on and on in this quote minority-based propaganda. But see, the minorities are the majority now in almost every state. And did the white bashing stop? No, it's only intensified because the government is manipulating this, ladies and gentlemen. To tell the immigrants that have, I guess, an idea that people don't like them or that they're not as good or they're better and they're going to show you. And they're teamed up with the big mighty government now, so they're going to win. That's childlike thinking. Obama's my daddy. George Bush is my daddy. I remember Republicans just associating their personal power with the far-off, you know, powerful government in psychology. But those very same people will hate their neighbor that's super good-looking or has a gorgeous wife. They will hate their neighbor that makes more money legally and lawfully than them and will have existential envy. When you study advertising and you study modern culture and propaganda and Edward Bernays and Joseph Goebbels, they talk about existential envy that I grew up researching and understanding, but when you try to do research on it, there's hardly any literature on it. Max Schiller was a German philosopher known for his work in ethics and philosophy and anthropology. He developed the psychological method and is one of the main founders of modern psychology today. And what did he talk about? Max Schiller said, quote, existential envy, which is directed against the other person's very nature, is the strongest source of resentment. It is as if it whispers continually, I can forgive everything, but not that you are, that you are what you are, that I am not what you are, indeed, that I am not you. This form of envy strips the opponent of his very existence, for the existence as such is felt to be a pressure, a reproach, and an unbearable humiliation. In the lives of great men, there are always critical periods of instability in which they are alternatively envy and try to love those whose merits they cannot but esteem. Only gradually, one of these attitudes will predominate. Here lies the meaning of Goethe's reflection that against another's great merits, there is no remedy but love. Goethe had it right, and this is what it comes down to. Of everything I've learned, we'll go back to your calls. Existential envy drives everything. Back when I was 20 years old, I was about as good looking as it gets. And I could have the most beautiful girlfriends out there. Models, professional cheerleaders, you name it, I've dated them all. Showgirls. Then I got into politics and finally the Lord didn't care about myself. Didn't work out for 15 years, turned into a job of the hut. It's been a slow process getting back to the way I used to look. Take a long time. But I'm losing weight as people can see. The point is that I would have these incredibly gorgeous girlfriends and then they would get mad when I worked out so much out of six-pack stomach saying, I don't want you looking better than me. And it's a more modern phenomenon as existential envy gets worse that women especially don't want a mate that is smart and intelligent and dynamic and successful. They want a mate. I'm going to skip this network break. This is so important. That they feel better than because they have a low self-esteem. And failed societies have a predominance of existential envy. And the government and the media plays off of this, the classism, the statism, the racism, to where people are so upset that they will politically be the slaves of the Democratic Party and do whatever they say, turn in their guns, have checkpoints in their neighborhoods, accept Obamacare, that's a giant screw job, because misery loves company, and just to imagine success and imagine being a good person is just too much because they hate all the people that are charming, that are good looking. And I experienced that. I wasn't bragging when I said I was super good looking and, you know, had all these gorgeous girlfriends, which, by the way, wasn't fun at the end of the day because they were so empty. It was the experience of wondering why so many people disliked me because I was good looking and because I was charming and because I was nice. Now, I was always popular and I always had a great time. And I would run into people that were successful and who loved and admired those that were better looking than them or smarter than them. Because on the scale of 1 to 10, I was nothing. That's why I've been successful being around rich and powerful people, not that I've even tried to be around them, is because I don't envy them, and I don't hate them because they're successful, and I'm not fake, and I'm real, and I can admire someone who's a rocket scientist, or I can admire someone who's a better comic than I am. I can admire a man who's more manly and good-looking than I am and looks like a GQ model and who has an incredibly gorgeous, you know, fitness model girlfriend. Because I admire beautiful, smart humans and the human species, and subconsciously I imagine my grandchildren being with their grandchildren as adults and colonizing space together. I admire. I mean, it'd be like going to a horse show and seeing beautiful horses and being mad that one horse was more beautiful or strong than the other. It gives strength to the entire species of the horse. And so if you want to know the secret of success, it's don't be an envious little wicked weirdo. I can't tell you how many people that I saw had some talent or were smart or had an eye for news that I would try to elevate who would then immediately try to destroy me, make stuff up about me, lie about me, and just go completely nuts. But it was existential envy, believing that I had to be destroyed so that they could rise. And they were trying to be, quote, media stars, not to defeat the enemy, but to be stars, to be egomaniacs, and that's why none of them last. Because they're not doing it for the love of liberty, for the love of the truth. They're not doing it to build others up. I can't tell you how many countless guests and other talk show hosts and authors and researchers that I've had on this show who literally later say, you need me. That's why you have me on. You're using me. You're posting my articles when I make somebody famous or successful. And then later they learn they're nobody after I quit promoting them, which is sad. But they literally can't imagine someone trying to build them up. We have more listeners. We have the ratings from our stations that come in live time now, about many of them. We have the ratings off the internet live time. You know what gets the listeners? Me. You know what people want to hear? Alex Jones. I don't have all these guests and people up here because I'm just trying to get ratings and listeners. I'm getting them up here because I like to talk to them. I want to pick their brain. I want to build them up. I want to point out how smart they are. And so many of these existential envy weirdos think I'm weak and that I'm trying to screw them over because they can't imagine that someone would try to build humanity up and be strong. I admire a man who has a knockout, gorgeous wife and who has great kids and is successful and can hold it together and to see their kids graduate from college and be honorable. Even if a war is a fraud and a lie, I can admire somebody that serves four or five tours and goes through living hell and keeps it together. I'm not intimidated by men that are tougher than me. I'm not intimidated by artists that can paint a better painting than I. I admire them. I fancy humans. I fancy the species. I want to build people up. I don't get jealous. I don't get envious. Now, there's territorialism and people are trying to run me over and dominate me. Then I stand up against them. But it's because of the principle. So I want to read Max Schiller's, one of the founders of psychology's, quote on what drives everything and what the system wants us to be: base, dumbed down, petty, narcissistic, sociopathoids, artificially created sociopaths is what the system's going for. Because if you won't stand up for anybody around you, no one's going to stand up for you. All these sociopaths and narcissists think they're getting ahead in the world because they don't care about anybody and they're screwing everyone and they think that's real smart, having an attitude. No, that's how you die alone. That's how you die without honor. Honor is knowing humanity's fallen and knowing you're fallen, but reaching for your higher angels, reaching for the stars, doing what's right, trying to build other people up. I don't get up here and brag about how I've been successful or how I understand how things work because it's about my ego. It's about telling people we know where the good water well is versus the poison well. We know the paradigm. We know how the system works. We've decoded it. It's hiding in plain view. We do have the answers. The answer is you waking up and taking action. The answer is you getting back to what the founding fathers were into. Invention, trailblazing, being honorable, being strong, being tough, being real. The most valuable thing is your name, is your honor. That's why the system tries to dishonor me all day and say I'm dishonorable and say I'm not real and say I'm a fraud because they got my phones tapped. They got my police records from the time I was 12 years old. They know full well how real I am, and that's what they don't like. They don't like bona fides, ladies and gentlemen. And let me tell you what really successful people who aren't evil, what they're looking for. They're looking for a few good men and women who are honorable, who are savvy, who are strong, who are ready to stand up for justice, who are ready to stand up for freedom, and who value being real and who value other people's success just as much or more as their own. Existential envy is our enemy. And I will read to you again the definition of it by the man who invented the term. Existential envy, which is directed against the other person's very nature, is the strongest source of resentment. It is as if it whispers continually, I can forgive everything, but not that you are. That you are what you are, that I am not what you are. Indeed, that I am not you. This form of envy strips the opponent of their very existence, dehumanized. For this existence as such is felt to be a pressure, a reproach, an unbearable humiliation. In the lives of great men, there are always critical periods of instability in which they alternatively envy and try to love those whose merits they cannot but esteem. Only gradually, one of these attitudes will predominate. Here lies the meaning of Goethe's reflection that against another's great merits, there is no remedy but love. That's right. And I sort of noted this as a child. If there was somebody winning the football game that we were playing, or someone that could draw better, or someone who could do better math, or some girl that was, you know, more cute than somebody else's girlfriend, they would always announce, yeah, but their parents are getting divorced, and, you know, she's got eczema, or she's a loser, or no. I would always hear losers announce the imminent downfall of anyone who was more successful than them. Always announce how the person had failed and how they had won. Instead of just going, wow, that person can really play football, or wow, that girl's really beautiful, or wow, great man, how do you do math like that? Well, where is the shared celebration like life is a giant party? Out under the trees in the forest, a big feast with everybody dancing around, celebrating. Somebody's not a good dancer, they fall on their butt in front of everyone. Everybody laughs lovingly while they're the greatest dancer of the night for getting up there, up on the table with their big cup of ale and dancing for humanity. Instead of just sitting around, and that's why I talked about this today, and we're going to break, come back with your calls. The reason I brought up existential envy today is because if you look at the globalist, as above, so below, to use their alchemist maxim. It's the New World Order that's envious. It's the unhappy royal queens and kings 170 years ago, 160 years ago, mad at the beautiful maidens, mad at the strong knights and soldiers and shipbuilders and captains and sailors. Mad that they were living, they were humanity, they were strength, they were competition, not the degraded, inbred failure. And so they developed science to make themselves God and to make us ugly in their existential envy. And that's why they have human sacrifice of the commoners, and why they try to dumb us down, every sick, inbred elite that comes to power, because they have total existential envy of whoever is more beautiful than them. And we see this in all the fairy tales. Snow White is just a rewrite of a bunch of German fairy tales where the queen is angry at the young maiden who's more beautiful than her. Anybody that's lived knows how evil some women get if they don't mature when they get older, and how obsessed and vain and wicked they become because they have existential envy of other women and young men as well because they don't think they can have them anymore. Or the existential envy that you see manifesting at every level of society. That's why they put cancer viruses in our vaccine and fluoride in our water, so they can sit back and laugh and know that they literally stunted us. But even through our stunted haze, we have seen beyond the mountaintops. There's nothing more stunted than trying to hold people back. You are failures. You are damned to hell, and you know it. And I declare the victory of humanity through God's promise against your blasphemy.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone
at 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
In the near future.
When you realize how fake it all is, the football, the basketball.
Alert. Security alert. This is Homeland Security. Analysis. InfoWars building independent media operations.
Let the worst people get controlled and tell us that we are the ones responsible.
Prime Directive. Discredit Alex Jones.
Jones is the wildly popular conspiracy theorist.
It's a popular conspiracy theory talk show called InfoWars.
Alex Jones is now in an Austin jail.
These people are assaulting us.
Targeting of patriots engaged.
They are never going to stop. They're never going to deviate from their programs until we stop them.
Block free iPhone app at InfoWars.com. Block free podcast and video feed. Imperative. Destroy Prison Planet TV.
You gotta set your eye on the enemy, not worry about what propaganda they put out. Intellectually, it's begun and you can feel it.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Waging war.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
It's the time of the season when the blood runs high. Oh, give it to me easy.
Give it to me easy. And let me try.
So what does the culture sell? Existential envy. But the minute you can admire and the minute you can love others is the minute other healthy people will open up to you. And I know I'm saying things that are common sense to those of you out there that are not absolutely dominated by existential envy. Praise God you're not. But this is the driving force in culture. And what they're bombarding the youth with, what they are marinating the women in, what they are dominating the men with, this is the problem. Women, especially as they get old, are supposed to take on loving their grandkids and great-grandkids, taking care of the men that usually die before them, working in the garden, painting, becoming fulfilled, being sages to their families with their wisdom. But if a woman doesn't go on the path of wisdom early, just like a man, they will become a truly wicked, hateful creature. And all of us face these challenges. I've become meaner as I get older. I've become more frustrated because I'm smarter. I see things clearer. It's just, I've got to work on not becoming a mean old man. So I'm not up here judging anybody. I'm just breaking down the fact that existential envy is the big problem. I've seen people destroy their careers, make stuff up, do incredibly horrible things. Things are even bad for their businesses, bad for their pocketbooks, bad, immoral, just so they can try to defeat someone like a villain in a movie. When I was a kid growing up, I'd watch villains in movies and cartoons, these powerful archetypes. And I think, how ridiculous. Why would the witch be mad that she wasn't invited to the birthday party for Sleeping Beauty, so she takes over the whole kingdom and basically puts everybody into a trance when she never even asked to be invited? It doesn't matter. The wicked witch didn't like seeing people having a good time and wanted to screw things up and poison the well. That's what they do. And they get a thrill out of running our lives. Then you got just the run-of-the-mill control freaks that are scared of everything and get a thrill out of running everybody's lives. And sometimes there's good instincts behind that, but that can be twisted to the enemy's aims. Enough of me ranting about that. I'm going to go through all the calls that are on hold, then into the stack of news. By the way, Rick Perry, again, who I'm not falling in love with or anything, Rick Perry's been on the show and called me a big, fat, ugly hog before. I guess it was kind of true, and I've said he should get in big trouble for Gardasil lying and saying it was the law to take it, all because he got convinced by Merck it was good for people. When we brought him the documents, it was killing people in the trials. They said that's what really hurts his presidential chances. But Rick Perry has tried to not let the BLM take land, and he has actually put the state police on the border. And so for those sins, the Democrats have indicted him for doing his job. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do, is veto funding for a state agency that is implemented by the county when it's run by a psycho drunk woman who indicts the wrong people. I have a friend whose brother was indicted by her, and when they brought Rosemary Lindbergh the documents and said, number one, these are two brothers that look a lot alike. Number two, the people claiming that Sid Steiner jumped out with a gun, he was not even in the city when that happened. And Shane Steiner didn't even do that. We have witnesses. The people just thought they could get some money from rich people, some of the richest people around here. And she said basically she didn't care. And the indictment stood, and then they had to go to the grand jury and get them to make a big noise where it got dropped. She knew that it was Shane Steiner, who's been a guest on the show, we go shooting with him, who I went to high school with. She knew that Tommy Shane Steiner was the one that had the altercation in front of his house. And she was going to go ahead with trying to put Sid Steiner, world champion steer wrestler, people might know the name, in prison for a decade, knowing he was innocent. This is a woman who makes goblin faces and screams and points her finger like she's going to shoot cops when she's in jail, kicking her feet and literally flopping around. And Rick Perry says, you got to step down. And they have indicted him. And I think we should get Shane and Sid in here and actually have them tell that testimony. I know they're friends with Rick Perry, too. And so people understand, they arrested her right by Shane's house, by the way, over there at Steiner Ranch, driving on the wrong side of the road. Three times over the legal limit. Can we get to the newscast part where she's in the jail cell flopping around, kicking, making demon faces? Yeah, spitting on everybody. Meanwhile, I mean, I just know the state law. Rick Perry did what he should be impeached if he didn't do this. This is actually what a governor is supposed to do. Well, now he's had to basically turn his firearms in. He has to either say that they're his wife and in a locked safe, or he can be SWAT teamed. And he better get the guns out of his house, or they'll do it. They run this town. Felony indictment prevents Governor Perry from carrying or buying guns. Democrat-driven charges against Republican governor are proving to be a form of gun control. Western Journalism Center. Should I go to your phone calls? It's just that... In fact, I always say I want to do this, and I never do it. I will call. You guys remind me. When I get off air today, I'm going to take some stuff for the nightly news. I'm going to make some phone calls. Because I was over at their house like a week and a half ago. We went boating on the weekend with the kids. And Sid was there. Shane was there. Everybody was there over at Bobby's house. And I should have said, hey, let's do this. It's a whole other wrinkle to this lady. Indicting the wrong person and then saying, I don't care. That's the arrogance of power. And you can get a local boss hog that's just as bad as Hitler. You let it go long enough. By the way, I mean, I know full well criticizing this woman. She might indict me for something. I know she's been reportedly running persecution programs against the sheriff's department. See, you want to blame the cops for the way this country is? How about we blame people like her and ourselves for letting laws and regulations be put in place that are this out of control? That's all I'm saying. Matthew in South Carolina, you had one last thought. Benghazi investigation, your congressman. Yeah, I look for your congressman to get shut up and put in jail. They're arresting a lot of people right now, but they can't throw us all in jail, can they?
Staff, and she has the same opinion. But one thing I was going to say for your listeners, they need to reach out and support Trey Gowdy for what he's doing, as well as perhaps your staff reach out to him. Maybe you can get him on the air. Perhaps I don't know how well that might work out, but I honestly think he's fighting the good fight. And there are not very many people in Washington that are doing that. And I would tell you some Jerry Brown, Governor Moonbeam stories, but I'm not going to get into that now because I know you got other callers on hold.
No, go ahead. You held a while. Tell us your Moonbeam story. I remember you said all sorts of crazy stuff.
Jerry Brown, who when he ran for the Democratic nomination when he was running against Clinton, came and spoke at my college, and I was unfortunate or fortunate enough to actually be the one that kind of handled most of the in and out and everything. And but where he's standing on this whole immigration thing now, this is the guy that was like screaming up and down about letting Vietnamese come into California when he was governor before.
Yeah, you know why? Vietnamese that want to leave communist Vietnam are about 80% conservative. So it's the politics, not the skin color. They want people that will vote Democrat and vote for gun control as long as they get a paycheck. And again, that's who's coming out of Central America.
And speaking as a student of philosophy, you break down existentialism, existential envy. You break it down very well, I think, for the layman. Just wanted to say that, and I'll let you get on to your other callers. Brother.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for calling, Matthew. Yeah, it's people that if you win a big award, your girlfriend gets mad at you. Or if your wife gets a promotion, and you go home and your husband gets drunk and breaks stuff. I mean, this is the problem. This is one of the big problems. Somebody in my family wins the lottery, I'm happy for them. Somebody in my family invents something new, makes $1 million, I'm happy for them. Losers have envy of people that are more successful than them. Winners admire successful people that have done it by working hard and being inventive. Now, nothing makes me more disgusted, and it's not envy. I don't envy Warren Buffett for his hundreds of billions of dollars. It's hundreds of billions, not just the $40 billion you hear. Conservatively. It's that he's tax exempt. He wants my guns. He runs all these scams shutting down American industry with him and George Soros. And he is perching on top of everybody, exempt from it, while pushing existential envy. It's not that he has jets. It's not that he owns Dairy Queen or Wells Fargo. It's It's that he's a fraud and a scammer and a big fat cancer. And a gangster. Because he's always on TV eating an ice cream or being a little old man. Oh, jeepers, what's going on? See, real villains go, oh, jeepers, I don't know what's going on. I'm a little old man. It's Emperor Palpatine, folks. Not a little old man. Michael in Michigan, thanks for holding. You're a trooper. You're on the air worldwide. Michelle, hello. Excuse me, I can't read the screen. Michelle in Michigan, I apologize. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to ask you, you know, under the Constitution, it says that any law that's passed that goes against the Constitution is null and void. So what's your take on this? Is it just because everybody's gotten out of control in complacency because there's lithium in the water? What do you think?
It's been a gradual seduction in the last 70 years. People brought up in front of television sets. And just spectators that just think of themselves as going to work, being told what to do, going home, watching TV, doing it all over again, turning our kids over to the state, turning our whole culture over to whatever we're told to do. Complying has caused it. Because in a natural tribal situation, complying with the elders, as long as they have good direction and tell us where to go hunt and what to do, one day we'll be the elders. It makes sense. But when you comply with the elders, when they're eugenicists who want to kill you, it's not a very good idea. And so people are in a literal brain damage trance. I have articles on it today. I'll get to it in a moment. They're in a brain damage trance, and it's so complex. People think something complex is hard and a headache. No, no, no. Once you learn complexities, it becomes like a game. You want to learn the rest of it. It's like a crossword puzzle. The harder, the better. So people have just never been taught how to enjoy learning. That's why they call it critical thinking in public schools. It's meant to shut off critical thinking. It's meant to make it as boring as possible. So that people just believe television and believe movies. They don't believe what's happening right in front of their face. The public is under mind control.
That brings up another factor because the federal government has allowed the state's money, our money, through taxpayer dollars, to go back in to brainwash these kids and not understand what the Constitution is, understand what free enterprise is. They don't have a clue, and nowadays you can't even relay that to the kids because they don't understand it.
That's right. 1984, the people are so dumbed down, Winston, who's a generation older, can't even talk to them. They don't even have language. They have slogans, racism, racism, racism. I mean, sexism, sexism, exact same thing. You know, I don't want to turn my guns in. Shut up, white racist!
You know, part of the issue, too, is that now we're at a point in time where most of the people are 65-plus. As a consequence, what better time to take over a country with
That's it. You got the majority of people who've been paying into something, about to go on the government dole. It's your money, but it was all set up to control you. And they got the illegals coming in to finish the job. They'll be dependent. And then it's just game over. Unless we point out under the Constitution, you can't make me your slave with your vote. Two wolves can't vote to make the sheep dinner. Roast lamb. In a republic, it doesn't matter if you got 100 wolves. They can't vote to eat the sheep. Slavery's illegal. We're saying no. And the bureaucracy, though, doesn't want the veterans. So they're now announcing they're basically terrorists in the new VA manuals, likening them to the dangerous people and to Oscar the Grouch. That article is on InfoWars.com. Thank you so much. Let's now go to another caller. Let's talk to Jeremy in New York. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex. Well, you know, earlier this week you had that interview with Joe Rogan, and I was and I listened to it. It was pretty good. What struck me, though, is sometimes in, you know, when you're listening and or watching an interview, the things that are not discussed is what kind of sometimes is speaks the loudest. And what I was wondering is Joe Rogan has been seen with Stanton LaVey, the grandson of Anton LaVey, who was a priest of the Satanic Church. And he is making those, you know, the esoteric hand gestures and whatnot. Why have you not questioned Joe Rogan on his association and what he actually was doing with this guy, what it means to him. Why are you doing El Diablo?
First, let me explain something. When Rick Perry does the El Diablo, it's for the University of Texas. Let's get that clear. Joe Rogan was not even really a spiritual person. Now he basically believes in God because of more of his research and things. Joe is not a Satanist. He's been to thousands of red carpets. Somebody sent me that photo. I asked Joe about that. I said, hey, you know, what was that? He goes, oh, just some event. I was joking around. To him, that's all a big joke. He's the host of the UFC. I think that was a UFC party. Some bald-headed guy in a vampire outfit. I mean, it's a joke to Joe. He's all about life, about wearing Johnny Cash shirts and going, you know, hunting animals now. And he gets in a lot of weird stuff. I don't agree with everything Joe does, but I've known Joe since 1998. You know, we've hung out quite a bit over the years. You know, I've gone places with Joe and done stuff with him, you know, all over the country. And number one, I like Joe. Number two, though, Joe comes on my show some. My audience tunes into him. I then get to talk to a very worldly audience interviewing a Russell Brand or a Joe Rogan. So I want to explain this. It's like people used to say to Ron Paul, why do you go on Alex Jones' show? And he go, well, I agree with about 99% of it. But plus, do I question Fox News or CNN about how you have on? I mean, Glenn Beck's asked him that. Well, why do you go on Alex Jones' show? Well, do I question who goes on your show? I mean, I mean, here's the thing. People go, hey, he has Joe Rogan on, who once was at a, you know, an event and did the El Diablo. And, I mean, Anton LaVey was a carnival barking con artist, and he even said it himself, selling power to weak people. You think real Satanists dress up like Bat Boy? Real Satanists put cancer viruses in your vaccine. So judge a tree by its fruits. I'm here exposing evil. I'm going to come back and talk to you on the other side.
You've been hearing about the in-home freeze dryer from Harvest Right for months. Have you ordered yours yet? We live in a politically and economically troubled world. You should be preparing for an uncertain future. Right now is the time to start freeze drying your own food so you can become self-reliant. To invest in your own home freeze dryer, go to harvestright.com while supplies last. Again, that's a home freeze dryer from harvestright.com. Mention this ad and save $200 through August.
Next to water and food, you need a safe, storable fuel supply for your preparedness needs. Spare Fuel is the answer. Spare Fuel can be used in any gas-powered vehicle or generator. Spare Fuel is perfect for any unforeseen out-of-gas emergencies. Unlike gasoline, Spare Fuel is safe to store with your other supplies, and it can be stored for many years. Go to GetSpareFuel.com for special pricing. That's GetSpareFuel.com.
Americans, prepare for financial ruin. That is what one of the world's richest men, Donald Trump, said just a few weeks ago. What are you doing to prepare? The problems that caused the last financial crisis were never fixed. In fact, they're even worse now. The total amount of debt in the U.S. has grown by more than 57% since September 2008. The too big to fail banks are much larger, and the massive derivatives bubble is spiraling so far out of control that the only thing left to do is watch the spectacular crash landing that is inevitably coming. If you're a baby boomer with retirement funds, it's time you consider exiting the Wall Street casino and start a cash-flowing international business of your own. There may be ways to preserve your wealth, but history has shown that few things can grow your wealth like having your own business. The crash is coming. Take measures now to soften the landing. Go to babyboomerbackupplan.com or call 888-507-8789. That's babyboomerbackupplan.com.
Another major health threat. This one in Toledo, Ohio, where everybody in the entire city has been told not to drink the water.
Ohio's governor declaring a state of emergency.
Did you know that the average person uses about 80 to 100 gallons of water at home every single day? If there's a water emergency, will you be prepared?
Panicked residents forming long lines throughout the day.
We're here at a supermarket in Toledo. You can see the shelves empty where water once was.
To stay safe and healthy during a crisis, you must have access to safe, clean water. Water which will not be available at your local grocery store.
There's a mad dash on right now to stock up on supplies.
The ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system is a must-have for every modern, independently minded household. Protect your family's safety during an emergency. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today to purchase your ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system or call 1-888-253-3139.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try. can't stop us now.
You know, I see this a lot. I've seen it in the comments on Infowars.com. Why isn't Alex covering the border? Why isn't it being covered here? And I'll look on the site. There'll be like three articles about the border. We have reporters breaking that they're shipping people across. The New York Times has to admit it. But it's like this social thing of one-upping someone. Oh, Alex didn't cover the border. Or I'd sure like to see the Federal Reserve covered here. Or then I get invited up to some comedy club and do some 30-minute interview in a little green room with, you know, pots and pans bashing around in the kitchen next to me. And why didn't you bring up the Satanism thing? But, you know, I think that is a good question because I've actually asked Joe. I said, hey, what was that? It was always some stupid party I was making a joke out of or whatever. But next time I interview Joe, I'll say, hey, folks say you're a Satanist because you were at that party once or something. And, you know, he has like a DMT tattoo, a molecule on his arm. They say that's a pentagram. No, that's a molecule of the dream chemical in your brain that's associated with higher consciousness and opening up your third eye, which I don't even get into. But I'm not here to, I mean, I've literally have had Jesse Ventura on the show probably 50 times. I don't agree with Jesse Ventura on the border. Does that mean I'm Jesse Ventura? Or I've had Democrats on the show that I totally disagree with. I've had Charles Rangel on, who's had ethics committee hearings. It's like asking me, are you involved in the ethics committee hearings with Rangel? So to say if there's an interview, I mean, hell, I interviewed Russell Brand three or four times. He's a listener. You know, he and his ex-wife, Katy Perry, listened to the show, he told me. He said that on air. Did I get there and go, how dare you not be a Christian? How dare you come part of the way towards fighting the New World Order and now even believing in God? How dare you, Russell Brand? Let's talk about that, Russell Brand. Let's talk about the fact that you're a devil. No, I mean, I'm interviewing. I mean, I interviewed Gore Vidal, who I agree with on like a whole bunch of stuff. I disagree on a bunch of other stuff. He exposes false flags. You know, I'm sitting there talking to an old gay man in a wheelchair. In Austin, he gave us an interview once in person. Do I go, and you're gay? Let's talk about that. Alex had Gore Vidal on. That means he's gay. Alex Jones doesn't want to blow Israel up. He works for Israel. Talk about it. Talk about how you work for Israel. I don't care that I'm being criticized. I'm sick of people not looking at what I stand for. Private property, anti-abortion, national sovereignty, local control, small government, believing in humanity, not having poisons in our food and water, not having all the GMO shoveled on us, labeling. I stand for prosperity. I stand for freedom. And they have these mindless projections. Like one time I was giving a speech, and they'll do it again. And I went, you know, this symbol means hook 'em horns if you're a UT fan, but it could also mean you worship the devil. But what it really means in Italy is you're warding off devil. So symbols mean different things to different people. They will take this and they will make videos saying I'm hailing Satan. Do it. I don't care about your existential envy. I'm real. I know I'm good. I know I love freedom. And I love it when you attack me because I can then illustrate it. There you go. You got 1 minute to respond. I'm going to overdrive and take phone calls. Go ahead, caller. Matt, expose me. Or who was I talking to? Who was the caller? He dropped off. Come on! You got a chance to expose El Diablo right here. But if I was promoting abortion, and if I was promoting world government and war, I'd be a good person, right? Judge a tree by its fruits. I'm not comparing myself to Christ. But Christ hung out with tax collectors and whores and murderers. Because that's where he knew he could do some good. Not with all the goody-two-shoe Pharisees up on the hill. I'm going to come back and go to you, Matt, in a moment. Who were just so, oh my gosh. Jesus was seen down in the city, in the center of the city with bad people. Let's kill him. Yeah, he was seen with a sorceress. I bet he's involved in devil worship. Let's kill him. Yeah, let's crucify him. Because we're holy. We're good. Yeah, right. We all.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Edward Grubb. It took me 20 years of searching the globe to find the deposit of the highest purity iodine available. The new Survival Shield X2 is mined from 7 to 10,000 feet below the earth in pristine, environmentally clean conditions. The iodine crystals we use are extracted from an ancient 300 million plus year old deposit deep in the earth. It's the strongest nascent iodine on the market today. It delivers 650 micrograms per drop. Experience the new formula. Experience the ancient purity. Shield your family. Survival Shield X2, available now at InfoWarsLife.com.
X2 from InfoWarsLife.com or call toll free 888-253-3139.